Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Raw Rundown here. Sorry, Rob was on the background there. My name's Kenny McIntosh, this is the Raw Rundown. I'm joined by David J. McCutcheon, this is episode 97. And I felt like when I finished watching Raw, I was 97 years old. Hi David, how are you?
Oh, Kenny, how's it going? I've been awake for about 30 hours now. And I don't know if you knew or not, but I have a heart condition, so I have to take these pills.
You mention it so rarely that sometimes I forget about it.
Yeah, and I have to take these pills, and they crash me out at night, and I had to stay up all night working. And I've been working for over 24 hours now with a few breaks to eat dinner and lunch and all that fun stuff, but I'm mainly just confined here to a computer, and I'm about to fall asleep, Kenny. I can't lie. All these pills, they're making my blood pressure just drop like you would not imagine. And it turns out that sleep is a requirement for living. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm guessing you didn't know that at all.
I did not know that. I also just started talking while I had the mute button on, which did not help, actually.
Yeah, no. You would think that you're some sort of idiot that's been awake for 30 hours, and it's not me that's the idiot that's been awake for 30 hours. You know, Kenny, I used to stay up 72 hours at a time, you know, that type of thing, and I'd be like, oh, this won't be an issue. I can still do that. I'm a young man in the prime of my life.
But you
no, okay. I'm not.
But you've looked like 43 for about 10 years.
That's fair. I never age, Kenny. I've always been this old.
I came out of
my mother's puss looking like this. I don't know if you knew that.
With glasses on.
Yeah, with the glasses on, the thinning male pattern baldness.
The great thing is, you when you're 60, you're going to look the exact same that you do now. Whereas, like,
oh yeah.
I'm going to be like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. 43, I'm going to wake up and look 90.
I'm grandfathered in to 43.
This is the only time you're going to hear me and Hacksaw Jim Duggan compared to each other.
Well, I hear that you both have a stiff board, but that's neither here nor there.
I mean, his stiff board is bigger than mine, but he has help. You know what I'm saying? Before we start, I do want to say very quickly, in all sort of sincerity, I can't really say anything, but all I can say is right now is that communication has been opened about being all in. And if you want that to happen, then you need to get in touch with the appropriate people. So that does not mean I listened to this podcast and they told me to tweet you, Ian Milne, but what it means, I'm kidding. He can take it now. He knows he's made the biggest gaffe of all time. And that we can never have fun because he exists. But, you know.
Ian is a part of the family now of Bants, mm-hmm, right? Like, mm-hmm. I take it on the chin numerous times a day. It's a part of my job. You know, being a cam girl is not easy.
Your sexual proclivities do not define you.
Yeah, right, exactly. And now Ian is in on that conversation.
But what I would say is, you know, for this to keep going. So I'll give you an example. So one of our lovely, lovely listeners, Charlene, who is just a gem. She lives in London or around that area. I'm not going to give you her address to stalk her or anything, but she lives in England, and she travelled up to Glasgow for the Scott Hall show. She was in London for the Kevin Nash show. She was at the Shawn Michaels show. Anyway, so she goes along to Ring of Honor at the weekend. And she goes and does... I don't think I told you this, David. But, like, she goes to Ring of Honor at the weekend and she does the meet and greet, the VIP meet and greet. And when she does the VIP meet and greet, she is greeted by the Young Bucks and Cody Rhodes. And she's wearing an Inside the Ropes t-shirt. And the Young Bucks spot this t-shirt and they start quizzing her about Inside the Ropes.
Oh!
And about the shows that we do and the kind of shows that we do and how we are as a promoter and all that kind of stuff. They would ask about what cities we've ran, what guests we've had, how the shows are, blah, 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 blah. They seem very interested to hear more. I'm trying to not say stuff, but by what I'm not saying should be what I'm saying. And then Cody, of course, had to be him and say, oh, you're a Kenny McIntosh fan? you know, of course. So again, if you want to see us there, you know, just send the tweets to Starcast, to Cody Rhodes, to Nick and Matt Jackson, and just say, we want to see Inside the Ropes at All In. We want to see an Inside the Ropes show at All In. Please make it happen. Something along those lines. By doing this, I don't think you understand the level of reach it has when you do this. And it could, you sending a tweet to those people could be the difference of us being All In or not if you do it. So keep them coming. You know, there's thousands of you to listen to this. If 100 of you pick up that phone or laptop and do that tweet, you could be helping us grow and do cool shit in America, and that would mean a lot to us. And I very rarely, I make it a point, I don't want to ask people to do anything. I don't ever want to be the sort of the places that are like, can you go here and do this review for us? And I don't really believe in that kind of stuff, but this is one time where I think that it would be beneficial for the listeners, it would be beneficial for people who are going to All In, it'd be beneficial for us, it'd be beneficial for our future of doing events in different places. It can help everybody if you want more Inside the Ropes. Please, if you enjoy what we do and you think we're any good and you've ever been to one of our live shows, please send a tweet to Starcast, to the Young Bucks, to Cody, and let them know that you would like to see an Inside the Ropes presence, show, whatever the word may be, at All In. We're up for it. We'd like to do it. They're open to it. If you guys, you know, can give us a little bit of love on social media, it could send it over the edge. So,
and another thing too is I don't think people understand like how much we truly do need the help with this. A lot of folks have contacted me and they're all like, oh, you guys are going to get in to All In, no problem. No, that's really not the case. In this case, like, I know it seems like a no-brainer to the folks that listen, but at the same time, this is a who's who of podcasts that are going to be at Starcast and All In. So in order for us to get in there, we're not celebrities. We're not wrestlers. We're not people who have been in the business. We're just wrestling fans that hold a podcast that you guys enjoy listening to. And in order for us to
can I just interject with one thing? I'm pretty confident that we can be All in some form or fashion because there is a podcast role. We want to do more than just be a podcast role.
Yes, we do. We want to make an impact. Hell, Kenny, whenever you decided, like last year, you said, I want to make an impact at WrestleMania weekend. And then you did it. That's the type of impact that when a, well, 90% you and I bought the pizzas. There you go. it always comes back to those goddamn pizzas. But like we want to make an impact at All In. We don't just want to be there. We want to be there. We want to actively make All In a better experience for the people who are going there. And in order to do that, we truly do need your support. So please tweet at Cody Rhodes, tweet at the Jacksons, both Nick and Matt. Tweet at Starcast 18. That's with two R's, Starcast 18. And don't forget to tweet at All In as well, all_in_2018. And those are the ones to hit up. Make sure you use the hashtag All In. Make sure you tag us too at Inside the Ropes, inside_the_ropes on Twitter. So make sure that you guys do that. Tag Kenny in it too. Kenny has some pull. I have zero pull on Twitter. My Twitter is just my little bubble of neoliberals who retweet anti-Trump. that is all. I already know that Alan Proven will like go, oh yeah, no, that was good. And then he'll click like on that. But like Kenny has actual sway. So include Kenny with it. And I really, truly hope that we can get together and all do this together as a community. And we can make a difference. At All In.
I want one other thing just before we get on to kind of the fun and the banter and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to name the person's name because I just don't think it's appropriate. But we did the Jericho shows last week, and one of the most kind of weird things for me about the experience was that we initially were actually going to be doing the Jericho shows the week before. And full disclosure, I fucked up and forgot that we were touring, so we had to change the dates. And there was a listener who got in touch with us. Because I've told the story before about David had messaged Robert and I when his mum passed away and said that, I can't remember the exact verbiage, it was something along the lines of, you know, my mum just died and I had a really shitty weekend, but the only time I laughed was listening to you guys. And David now is kind of on our side of kind of like, when you get stuff like that, you really just don't know how to process it because you almost don't feel worthy of that kind of stuff that people say to you. And people, when I did the Greatest Royal Rumble podcast and I said the stuff I said on that, and I got all this nice stuff. But the one that's floored me more than anything else, above anything, above, you know, David and above somebody who got married because they'd listened to us podcast and to kind of get their anxiety to go down. But the one above all else was we got a message last year because we were going to be doing a meetup in November. And I don't think I've told this in the podcast, but anyway, if I have, then I don't know, listen to it again. So we were going to be doing a meetup after Raw in Manchester. And we got a message from someone. He said, you know, hey, I saw you were doing a meetup. I really want to come meet you. But you're doing the meetup at a pub near Manchester Arena. And my brother was one of the 22 people who you know, the tragedy happened. And he said that listening to Inside the Ropes helped him get through that. And I think that no matter what anything happens ever from now, that thing is the coolest fucking thing in the world, and I'll never understand how to process that as a thing. He was then not able to come along to the Manchester show of Chris Jericho because it was changed to the 1 year anniversary of the tragedy. But what I want to say to him, because I think he is listening to this, two things. Number one, your t-shirt is finally going to be in the post, I promised you. Number two, I'm going to invite you as a guest of mine to our next show in Manchester coming up later on this year, which will become clear in a few weeks. But also, just so that person knows, when we got out that night in Manchester, I did a toast to Manchester because Manchester's always been a really great city for us. And we had a great time. And everybody in that room was there to have a great time. And yeah, so I don't really know why I brought that up, but I remembered it. We did the Jericho thing. We had a really great time. Everybody was really showed why Manchester is such a great fucking city.
Of course.
And so that was just...
Manchester in general just always seems to treat Inside the Ropes well.
Yeah, we in Manchester, they're up for it. And in Glasgow, they're always up for it. Manchester, they're always up for it. London, not as much. But that's not like... There's so many people who listen to this that come to the London shows that are up for it. And then sadly, there are some people who just are like, I don't know what it is in whether London gets so much more entertainment. They just kind of sit and kind of go, entertainers.
Yeah.
Like Michael.
Right.
Shawn Michaels in January had said, you know, at one point he was like, are you guys enjoying this? But they were just quiet. They were just quiet and were just listening, you know? So, but yes,
London is the homecoming king, right? And the homecoming queen. You really got to impress London. Like London is used to having all these extravagant things on every single corner. It's like New York, you know. You walk down the street and it's just like, oh, there's a homeless guy juggling turds, and
would respectfully disagree on that extent to the point where I think New York would be like Glasgow. I think New York people would be fucking up for it. There's something about Southern England, I don't know what it is, that when you go to events, it just doesn't translate as well. But anyway, the point is, we had a great time in Manchester. But I also wanted to tell you very quickly, David, about one of my friends, I'm not going to name him by name, but I met up with him tonight and we had a drink, and he told me about something that happened to him, and I thought, is this maybe the worst date story you've heard for a third date? So
a third date. Now see, that's interesting. First dates can be disastrous, but third?
So you've made it to third date, right? And
sure.
She likes you, and you like her and all that. So anyway, so he decides, let's go for some seafood. Right? Good choice. West End of Glasgow, seafood.
Sure.
The Finiston area, which is very up and coming, very trendy. So you go along. He goes along with this girl, and now this is like maybe the end of January of this year.
But sure.
In mid-December of last year, him and I went out one night, and he'd been with this girl for like a year, and I was like, you're not into her. Let's be honest, because like, there's just, you know, you just know when you see friends.
Yeah.
Like, you do not look into her. You know, sometimes I have to go, oh, how is she? And you'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, she's fine. I'm like, you forgot who she is?
Never a good sign, no. Uh-huh.
Never a good sign. And she was perfectly pleasant, right?
And, sure. They just weren't the most compatible.
Yeah, I mean, she was a bit irritating, but, you know, she was lovely. So, anyway. So, he's walking down the street with this girl, and they're holding hands, and they're on their way to get seafood, and it's all lovely. Now, so when he broke up with the girl a week before Christmas...
Oh,
he told her, "Well, I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm not in a good place for a relationship right now. You know, I need to spend some time on me."
Sure.
You know, he used the line, and it was all good, and it's done. So then, he's walking down the street with this girl who he is now seeing. This is the end of January. He broke up with the previous girl mid-December. Did I mention that he was walking down the street that the ex-girlfriend lives on? So he's holding hands with the new girl, and they bump into the ex.
No! Oh no! Oh no!
And he tries to defuse it as if like, "Hey, how's it go? Oh, this is just my friend." And it's like, "That's not your friend." Like,
oh, ooh. See, that's a terrible move to pull out in any circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Like, so
because you're burying the ex and you're burying the current one, right? Oh,
it's just death all round, right?
Yeah, that's rough. Oof.
But then, you know, they manage to get through it. They're going to get their seafood. It's all good. So sure. They're going to get their seafood, and they have it. It's lovely. And then she has a friend who's a comedian, and there's a great comedy club in Glasgow called The Stand. I'm going to take David to the next time he's here. And they go see her friend do some comedy. So they go see the comedy, and then he's like, he's just not feeling well.
He's like,
I should probably go to the toilet. Anybody who's been to stand-up comedy knows the worst thing you can do is get up when a comedian is... doing an act, because you're essentially throwing them new material. Like, there you go. So he gets up and he's like, "Oh, thank God the comedian didn't notice. It's all fine, right?"
Oh no.
Then he faints on the spot.
What?
So he faints. Something to do with the seafood, right?
Oh!
He faints. Somehow the comedian does not notice this.
What?
But like, all the people around him try and prop him up to a chair so he can, like, be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes into the bathroom and spews, like, exorcist style.
Oh my God.
He is still with the girl today. And the best part of that story is
they're getting married.
He told me that story in full tonight across the road from the seafood place. And you know how he told me? Is... I was like, "Oh yeah, we'll get some food next time." He was like, "Yeah, I quite like that seafood place over there." And he was like, "But in saying that, this happened," and then told me that story, and then finished it with,
"No,
but the seafood's pretty good." And I was like, "No, it's not."
No, I mean, it's good if you don't care about your internal organs not fucking rotting from the inside out.
You fainted at a comedy show. You projectile vomited, and you had the camera bumping into your ex who you dumped because you said you weren't ready for a relationship yet. I'm not going to that seafood restaurant ever. The karma in that place is fucked.
That place is like one of those fucking voodoo shops that we saw in New Orleans. There's no way. There's no way, Kenny. By the way, I went into a voodoo shop in New Orleans, just so you know.
Right.
And I nearly got you the sex candle, right? It's a candle, and if you burn it, you're supposed to have the best sex, because a voodoo priestess rubbed her genitals all over the candle or something, and then you burn the candle... and you just you get a good dickin', right? So the thing is, though, is the candle was larger than any bag that they had, and it was also in the shape and color of a big black dick. So I didn't want to carry around a big black dick, which is a candle, but to the average observer looks like a huge dildo. So that's the only reason I didn't get you the big black dick candle, Kenny.
So, you know, just to respond to that, because you made me think of it now. So, Sondra obviously was over for the tour.
That's big black dicks, got it.
I mean, who doesn't? I feel like I'm a guy who likes drinking. I live in Jeddah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's my kind of situation. Anyway, so Sondra and I are chatting, and we recorded the Over the Edge review, which goes out tomorrow, which is our live episode. By the way, I've listened to the feedback. We're not going to do live episodes going forward as regulars. It was more fun for us, but I don't think it really translates as much for the listeners. So we have listened to your feedback. But anyway,
fun for a one-off.
Yeah, fun for I had fun. So anyway, so we're chatting away, and then, you know, we're basically you know, telling all of our, you know, personal what's going on in our lives and with her and with me and blah 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 blah. Now she pours her heart out to me about some stuff, and I ramble at her about some stuff, as, you know, you'd think that would go.
Of course.
Now, we were watching Over the Edge, and Over the Edge has a terrible undercard, LOD versus DOA. And I thought it would be a good idea, even though we were drinking vodka, to introduce rum shots into the mix.
Oh.
And we would have a rum shot every time a bell rang for the start of a match and a bell rang for the end of a match. There was 8 matches on the card.
Sure.
Now, thankfully, she did love Austin and did love, which was like, I was kind of like, see, she doesn't love this. I don't know how we can continue. But she did, so it's fine. One of my favourite matches of all time. Anyway, so we finished the thing, and apparently we have this, you know, really, you know, in-depth, open, honest conversation. And the next thing I know, I wake up to Sondra chapping my door at 10:08 in the morning. I don't remember going to bed. I'm still fully clothed, and I have to phone a taxi for the airport. I call her a taxi, and then about 6 hours later, I was like, I think Sondra told me some stuff. And I can
What gave you the idea?
I was making toast. Just came to me.
It wasn't like burnt toast, so it's not like you were having a stroke. You were having an epiphany.
Yeah, well, I think I was having a bit of both, to be honest. But I was having a bit of each of those. So then, I message her. This is all relating back to you, by the way. So I messaged her. I was like, "Hey, Sondra." She was on, you know, Sondra, when she booked flights, she was on like flight 1 of 9. You know, and
yes,
she's the only person that flies into 3 different airports domestically before she goes overseas.
Right.
And we're chatting away, da, 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 and, you know, I remembered the majority, I think, and then she kind of filled in some blanks, and then I was like, listen, Sondra, if this was all a ploy to get me into bed, it is not going to happen. I'm not giving you a ride to Pleasure Town. It's not going to happen. And then her response to that was, do you know what's funny about that? You're the gay one, and the only act of sexual tension on this whole podcast is the fact that David consistently wants to fuck you on air.
It's fair. It is. And, you know, it's kind of funny, though, because Val, one day, she goes, so, if I were to die and you had to be gay, would you be gay with Kenny, or who would it be? And I immediately go, no, I would be gay with my buddy Joe. Handsome, adorable, tiny little gay man, right? And she goes, really, not Kenny? And I go, I feel like Kenny and I would have zero sexual chemistry. I feel like there would be just nothing there. I'm willing to try, but...
Shocker.
But...
I cannot describe to you, right? So say you go, okay, we're going to give it a go, right? We both like wrestling... You know, we can kind of get along. We're both on different sides of the same side of the fence, or different ends of the same side of the fence.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, if I have to look up when I'm about to climax, and we lock eyes,
it's done. It's like whenever you have to sneeze, and then you're like right on the cusp. You're like, and then all of a sudden, boom, you just lose the sneeze. And you're just left with a stuffy nose, and that's that. Yeah, just it wouldn't be good. You know, it's really rather unfortunate, though, Kenny, because I know in another life that we would be pumping. But unfortunately, I just I don't feel it. I wish I did. So I think you're just going to have to remain best friends with me.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about. That's exactly how that went. You've nailed it, or not? But I guess before
I didn't rule out nailing it, Kenny.
Compass and a map, and you wouldn't know what to do. But so before we talk about Raw, I guess we can talk about it because it's not really political, but it's just more like so Roseanne. Roseanne Barr comes back. Now, I'm going to be honest, right? I thought the show was fucking dynamite when it came back. I thought it was really clever. I actually liked the idea that, like, conservative working class America is represented in the TV show because I think it should be. I think the minute you start to go, you can only represent these people and not other people. Because not everybody who's conservative is an idiot. So I liked the show. I thought it was good. And I watched the first couple of episodes. And then she goes and does this thing where she, like, compares, was it, like, Obama's ex-aide to, like, a monkey?
Mm-hmm.
And then she, you know, ABC cancelled the show. So I guess the question I was going to ask you was, because somebody likened it to, well, WWE do stuff all the time. And it's like, yeah, but, like, the people in WWE are not tweeting out in real life. Stuff like that. So,
yeah,
what did you make of the whole Roseanne thing when it came out?
Yesterday was a fucking holiday, Kenny. One of my least favorite politicians, Eric Greitens, ended up getting ousted here in Missouri because he had a mistress that he raped with photos. He like made her strip down and take nude photos of her. While she was crying and everything. And he ended up getting ousted yesterday after a just grueling, like, year-long scandal with this. And so he finally resigned. So I loved it. I got to vote against that dumb motherfucker back in 2016. And now he's gone. So automatically I was like, all right, good day. I like it. And then Roseanne's stupid ass, because I did not like the Roseanne show. Roseanne's stupid ass going off and blah, 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 saying all the racist shit that you knew that she would be responsible with her stupid running of her mouth. Yesterday was a fucking holiday in this household, Kenny. I loved it. I was walking around with a little pip in my step, you know, whistling. I was like those old 1920s Mickey Mouse cartoons, you know, just fucking walking down the street without all the racism.
I feel like if you hadn't met Val, and you were like single now, right?
Sure.
And you got like really really tanked. I feel like you would like go home with Roseanne Barr, and then
fuck you.
No, not Roseanne Barr the person. I feel like you would be the guy that would she would be the woman that would come out of the bar and you go, oh my god, like what is that old lady doing here? And you'd be like, doesn't take a lot to fuck the pretty ones. And then we'd be like, no, don't do it. And you'd be like, I'm going to go over there. And you'd be like, don't do it. And then you'd be like, I'm going to do it. And then the next day you'd be like, what the fuck did I do? And we'd be like, we told you not to do it.
Kenny. Every woman who has ever fucking fancied me has always been way out of my league. So first and foremost, never underestimate. I will steal a Conrad Thompson lie. Never underestimate a fat guy who can sell. Because I'll tell you what, we can fucking talk some panties off of people. Let me tell you, Kenny, first and foremost. Secondly, you're fucking comparing me to Raven. I'm not going to fuck the dirtiest looking rat in the fucking bar, Kenny. Jesus.
So
have some faith in your best friend.
That's true. Well, do you know what? I'll tell you one thing we do agree on. This week's Raw is not worth covering. So instead, what David's going to do is give you five things you should do instead of watching this week's episode of Raw. David, the floor is yours.
Oh boy, we've got some other hot topics to discuss, Kenny, and I think this is a great little segue right here. Number five, you could memorize the lyrics to Enzo Amore's new theme song. This is Phoenix.
Can I say that? I know it, like, I'm on Rebby Hardy's side here, like, I kind of dig it because it's so bad. It's like, it's like, I love WrestleMania the album, because like, yeah, how are you not gonna love a song that goes Tatanka Buffalo for like 3 minutes? So like, why, like, the fact that he, like, because listen, the guy was cleared, you know, dismissed charges or whatever, like lines like I ain't no Bill Cosby bitch, or like suck on my consensual penis, I just think that's kind of geniusly rubbish. So like, everybody's going, it's so terrible. I'm like, yeah, it's so bad. Let's just play it again to see how bad it is. let's download this on the iPhone, so if it's really bad, we can play at parties in case we need to.
You know what would be really funny? If we purchased it on iTunes and just listened to it for like 40 times straight and memorized all the lyrics. And
do you know, we should do a tour with Enzo where he just raps for 3 hours.
I listened to it 3 times, so I kind of understand the camp that you're coming from.
It's like a Stockholm syndrome. The thing is, people going, oh my god, he disrespected wrestling fans. I'm like, listen, if you see any resemblance of you and that dude in the beginning, then you're too far gone. It's too much.
Beyond that, that's their takeaway from it. Like, that, out of everything they could pick a bone with, that he made fun of the fat guy.
It's so good. He made fun of the fat guy and he ate Cheetos in front of him. Like, he was accused of rape! And you're angry that he ate a Cheeto in front of a fat man.
That's like everything that's wrong with society in general, is it's like all these fucking straight white men are sitting there and they're like, I think he's poking fun at me. Meanwhile, the fucking topic is rape. Like that's the thing they get outraged about.
He
made fun of my belly, though. Like, fuck you. Grow the fuck up, please. Would you please? Good Lord. Jesus Almighty. So that's number five, Kenny. The other one, you could write a letter to your congressman if you live in the States, or whatever politicians you folk have. You're weird people. You could write a letter to those, because either way, watching Raw or doing that is a complete waste of your time. But at least you would get some exercise out of your wrist, because I already know, Kenny, that you do not get enough wrist movement in your exercise routines. So
there's a lot of wrist movement. Sadly, it's all by myself.
Right, and it's usually just in one motion, so it doesn't really, you know, you know how it is with cardio. You got to mix it up. If you fall into a routine, you won't burn as many calories that way. So that is one other thing that you could do. Something else you could do, support a local business. Now, Kenny, I know you love supporting local businesses. And
I've been to the Sandyford Sexual Health Clinic in Glasgow several times. I support them. I've had, you know, various STDs over the years.
Genital ailments.
I was essentially riddled from 2012 to 2014. But you know, I've every time I would go, I would, you know, put like 50 pence in the thing to get a lollipop. So, you know, right. I'm all about local business.
Right. Local is king. I was going to say, yeah. Local is good. And for anyone interested, I do have a GoFund yourself. I thought that one was cute. GoFundMe takes too much. GoFund yourself is more like a go fuck yourself fund.
Like,
so I started one of those up for MMW. So for anyone who would be interested, I am taking unmarked bills. If you would like to send those through the mail, personal checks, but stuff that I don't have to tell the government about, you know, keep it under the rug. You know, so if anyone is interested in funding MMW, that would be a lovely use of your time. So beyond that, Kenny, you could circle around an elementary school very suspiciously with like a trench coat and see how long it takes for the cops to be called, thinking that you're a child toucher. So that would be a fun little experiment that you could do, a fun social experiment. And then whenever they show up with the camera crew and everything, you can be all like, ha! It took you 2 hours and 15 minutes and 37 seconds. You're a little slow. So that would also be kind of fun. You may be a little locally famous And you may have to knock on people's doors and explain to them what you are after that. But I think that is worth the time and effort. And the number one thing that you could do, Kenny, would you give me a drum roll, please? Oh, man, that sounded like a car speeding up. But okay, that works, though. You could Google Minions Hentai. So if you ever wanted to see those adorable little minions doing terrible sexual things, just Google those two words and see what comes up. You never know. You might be into it.
Right, let me Google it. I don't know what you're saying. You're saying words I don't know. So what am I writing at?
Oh, boy. Minions, you know, like okay, the little the little yellow fellas, right?
Got it, yep.
Hentai. That's Hentai. Go and put that in your Google box.
Hentai. Oh, good God.
Then go to images.
Oh. What the fuck? Oh! Oh, give me a sec.
Did you have some bad seafood?
I'm saying nothing.
So that is a better waste of your time than watching Monday Night Raw.
I think you've nailed it. So I think
I think I did all right there.
So that's all you need to know about Raw. I guess we should talk about the TV deal, the WWE TV deal that kind of finishes off here in the podcast. And then we're
Kenny, you're not just going to gloss over Monday Night Raw, are you? Such an eventful show, are you? Are you really?
Let's just move on.
Move away from that. I demand, Kenny, I demand, as the illustrious co-host and the man who brings all of the funnies, I didn't just think that up about Minions porn off the top of my head. I have to sit there and think about it for the longest time, Kenny, the hilarious genius that I am, bringing everything I do to this podcast. Do you think I would let you sully my good name by not going over the events of Monday Night Raw?
What are you angling at? There's always an angle with you.
I like dangling it. But what I will say, Kenny, is that we should cover Monday Night Raw, but I feel like it should be an abridged version because we do have to talk about that TV deal, and that is a rather important discussion. So I'll tell you what, Kenny McIntosh, we're going to see how fucking professional you are. You always go on about how you're, I'm Kenny McIntosh, I'm the big promoter, everybody else can suck my dick. Beep, beep, beep. We're going to
see. That's exactly how I behave on a daily basis.
And that's your accent, too. So you're welcome for such a good impression of you. I'll tell you what you're going to do.
Right.
You got 3 minutes. You got 3 minutes. A minute for every hour of this shit. And you're going to just go through everything in 3 minutes. You got it. Can you handle that, McIntosh? Are you professional enough?
So, well, 3 minutes, you want me to go, so I can just talk about the highlights, right? Well, like the big stuff.
You got to summarize that shit for me, because I definitely watched it.
Okay, do you know what? You might be an unprofessional, balding fuck, right? But I...
Sure.
I'm gonna show you up right here. Put 3 fucking minutes on the clock. I'll show you up. You sit here on your high horse saying you didn't fuck Roseanne when you did. Okay, fine. Let's do it, you Roseanne fucker.
All right. Okay. I'll tell you what. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go!
Okay, so they open up with a Memorial Day video, which I assume was our Memorial Day of being wrestling fans. Then Braun Strowman comes out. He does a thing about being Mr. Monster in the Bank. It wasn't very funny. Brock Lesnar's going to get these hands, but hopefully it won't be a 5-minute match next time. Finn Balor comes out. They have a wee thing back and forth. Then Finn Balor starts trying to fight him. Then they have a match. Kevin Owens is on commentary. It's quite good, actually. Balor and Strowman is probably the only good thing in the show. But in the end, they don't want to have Braun lose. They don't want to have Finn lose. They then make it seem like Finn's going to win, but then Braun
You wasted 30 seconds on the first spot.
So then, shut up! So then the Owens thing is there, and he gets involved. It's a DQ win for Finn. Then we get Kevin Owens rushing to leave the building, but Kurt Angle tells him he has to stay because he can't leave. He has to face Bobby Roode, so obviously Kevin Owens must have sleep apnea. Then Elias comes out, he plays a guitar. He talks about Virginia being disgusted. I mean, they kind of are if you've seen the movies. And then we move on to Elias leaves. Then Seth Rollins versus Jinder. Seth Rollins gets loses by DQ to Jinder because Rollins gets a chair and hits Jinder with it.
2 minutes remaining.
Then Rollins, after the match, hits Jinder and one of the Singh brothers, whichever one isn't injured or on Tinder, with the chair. And then Elias comes back and smashes a guitar. I think it's a worked guitar over Rollins. Nia Jax comes out. She's going to face Ronda Rousey at the pay-per-view. So they have a thing where like Nia Jax is fighting this woman and she's trying to do an armbar to her. And she's making it like she wouldn't tap to an armbar, but she tapped at an armbar to Asuka before. So I don't really know what we're doing here. Ronda Rousey has a great line on commentary. I can't remember because I'm going too quick here. But watch for Ronda Rousey's commentary line.
Half of your time remaining. 90 seconds.
Dick. So basically, Nia Jax isn't intimidated. Ronda Rousey does her mean face. Then we have Dana Brooke trying to be a slutty Brazzers statistician on the screen. And I kind of had feelings about it, which I guess really is weird. Not feelings that I would want to fuck her, but feelings that I was like, oh, that's a cute dress. Then Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt come out. They make their entrance. And then Coach makes a Stranger Things reference. And then he's never watched.
I love Brazzers. You got 1 minute to go.
Fuck off. So Coach tries to make a Stranger Things reference, but then he's never watched the show. So Cody Graves calls him out on it. He's like, I didn't say I watched the show. Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt beat the Ascension in a non-title match. Then Kurt Angle speaks to the B team. They want to have a tag team title match. Then we get Kevin Owens versus Bobby Roode. Kevin Owens wins in 10 minutes. Bobby Roode is dead as a doornail. Strowman comes out, destroys Owens. We're going to get Strowman and Owens next week. Then we have it's only our 3 minutes. Sami Zayn comes out. He apologized for lashing stuff last week and said he can say
1 minute! No!
No, it's 30 seconds! Shut up! So Sami Zayn apologizes to the Bobby Lashley sisters thing. Bobby Lashley comes out, he's still got no personality. Then we get more promos for the women. Drew McIntyre beats Chad Gable in a match. Then we get a weird thing with the B team have a barbecue and everybody laughs and Tyson O'Neill thinks macaroni and cheese doesn't get any flavour to it. Then the main event is a gauntlet match for the women's Money in the Bank. They all get eliminated. Sasha wins in the end. It was really, really shit. It only went 21 minutes. It should have went shorter, but really shit Raw. Next week's going to be bad and Money in the Bank's 3 weeks away and it should be there now. And that's the end of the thing and now there's 3 fucking minutes.
And you're done. You did it. You did it in
suck it.
3 minutes. And, you know, I think you summarized it pretty well. Kenny, what would you give this week's Monday Night Raw?
I mean, I'd give that review a 10.
The review was infinitely better than the Raw.
Do you know, I don't think that it was... I don't think it was as terrible this week as it was last week. I think the problem was more that, like... Money in the Bank needs to happen now, and I feel like we're sitting. You know, what this felt like to me was, you know, when you're sitting in an airport and your flight gets delayed, and you've kind of done all the stuff you want to do at the airport, and you're ready to leave.
Yeah, and you've already read your book, and there's like 3 hours to go,
and you don't want to crack open the podcast that you're listening to in the flight because you've deliberately got as many podcasts as you need for the flight. So, yeah. I would give it a 4 out of 10.
4 out of 10 is exactly what I would give it, Kenny. It was sort of funny. Val was sitting there and she goes, wow, that was so much better than last week. And I go, wow, really? You liked it that much? And she goes, oh, no, it was dog shit. Just perfect. Perfection. El perfecto. Oh, man. it was a bad Raw, very problematic Raw. Finn looked like a big wiener, as he usually does now, as is wont to do. I don't know what they're going to do with him. He needs to be in like he needs to be in a stable of some kind, I think,
like the club.
Yeah, like the club, that would be good. I was thinking more of the Undisputed Era. I would love to see that, actually. Call up the Undisputed Era and then have it like the Cody and Kenny thing. Who's the leader of the Bullet Club? And it could be between him and Adam Cole. Who's the leader of the Undisputed Era deal? Yeah, that'd be fun.
That'd be good.
Sure. Yeah, just copy what New Japan's doing. They're doing it good.
Yeah, Jesus. Fuck it, why not? Yeah. Okay, so I guess to finish it off, the TV deal, we didn't get a chance to talk about last week because I was on tour. So USA are going to keep Raw. only Raw for about 200 million a year, I think it is. And then Fox are going to get SmackDown. And it means that, like, over the 5-year period, that WWE are going to get something mental, like 2 billion or something.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, because, like, is it a 5-year deal for USA?
Five year deal for both, and WWE is going to get a total of $2.35 billion.
Just nuts, man! Just absolute bonkers. And whenever you think about it too, like SmackDown, they got the B show, because, you know, regardless of how people feel about the rosters or anything like that, it is the kid sister, right? Like that's the way it is. That's the way it's always been. And Fox ended up paying that much money for the B program, which now obviously becomes the A program. And I guess we should break down what this means for the rosters, what it means for the business, what it means for the creative. I mean, there's a lot to unpack with this TV deal, Kenny.
Yes, I mean, first let's talk about USA. So USA, sure, make this offer of like 300, I think they make an offer of like 360 million for both or something.
Yeah.
Like, which was just not, their offer was nowhere near what it needed to be. So, I mean, because you know this better than me, because I don't live in America, but apparently USA can handle losing SmackDown, but if they lost Raw, they would no longer be in the top 10.
Yeah, yeah, because, like, regardless of how people feel about wrestling, it is a, it's a good selling point for advertisers. It's a steady draw, even whenever Raw is bad, as it has been. It's always, you're never going to lose the audience. Everybody likes to imagine that they're going to walk away from it, and they like to pretend that they're on strike, and that may last for 3 weeks, but they always come back. So what the audience that they have now, the people who watch right now, will never leave, no matter what happens. You could have David Arquette come back out and win the title. Those people are always going to watch. Therefore, it's a baseline of what they can draw. So they know the bare minimum of what they can do. And then what they need to do from that point forward, which they did very well, was sell their potential. Not what they do now, but hey, if we got on, you know, this prime time slot on basic cable television, which everyone has, not even basic cable, basic network television, which everyone has, regardless if you pay for a cable package or not. This is something that you can sell if you're the WWE, and you can go, we already do this no matter what. So this, yeah, is what you are grandfathered into buying. But here's what the potential is. Hey, look what we used to do during the boom period of the Monday Night Wars. Could you imagine doing that on your network and on a Friday night, which is what Fox ended up getting them for? We'll get more into that too. But on a Friday night where TV is typically not that boisterous because of the fact that there's not a whole lot of competition on your standard Friday because everyone's out doing things and everything. So that's a basic selling point for any network is, hey, no matter what, you've got some ratings and you know what it's going to do as a baseline. So we'll get more into the ratings game too and how that differs from cable to network TV.
And I think it's important that, like, it's important for them to have, because there's not a lot of shows in the States which draw consistently 3 million viewers on a weeknight that's not football. Right. So,
right.
And, like, USA, from what I've seen, like, when you watch the Attitude Era stuff, like, you know, Sandra and I always make fun of it, but they had all these, like, big shows like La Femme Nikita and, like, Nash Bridges and all this sort of shit. But you don't really hear of anything now in USA that's, like, a big hit anymore.
Yeah, it's them fucking, that guy that's always in bed. What's his name?
Oh, Chrisley guy.
That fucking Chrisley guy. Oh,
and you know, the worst thing is, damn, the thing about that is you watch one episode and you go, oh my God, this is fucking terrible. And you're like, but did he get a new apartment he was bidding on? And you're like, no, this is what he wanted you to do. This is what it's designed to do, is to suck you in. So basically, USA managed to retain Raw. And part
out of
the reason,
necessity. They way overpaid for Raw out of necessity.
And WWE saw that if WWE went to Fox, then The problem is that we'll talk about Fox in a second, but Fox are going to have a lot more demands here than USA. So Raw is one of those things that Raw and USA can basically do the same that it's doing right now. There's no real impetus for them to make the show better or to make it bigger or anything else. They can just do what they're doing, and that's kind of it. Whereas SmackDown is another kettle of fish, because Fox are paying big money for this, which means they want big ratings for it.
Yes, they want results.
So this is one of those ones where, like, SmackDown is going to have to be fucking good. Like,
yes.
And that's what actually fills me with hope about the deal. Because, like, if somebody said to me, you have to keep Raw with USA, which means it stays 3 hours, would you be okay with that? I'd have been like, oh, no, really? But then this deal, I'm like, yes. Because now they have to fucking make SmackDown brilliant. They have no choice.
You will see all of the biggest stars shift from Raw to SmackDown. That includes Brock Lesnar, Ronda Rousey, anybody that they consider a draw, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, those are the guys that will be on SmackDown from now on. Raw, oddly enough, the reason that Sandra loves SmackDown so much, that it's not all about the caca and the gaga, now that is exactly what SmackDown's going to be all about, because they are going to network TV, everyone is going to be able to view it, and the expectations are going to be soaring for this. Because if it's not compelling TV and they're not drawing the type of numbers that they are looking for, then I have a theory, Kenny, that if they don't step up their game, a lot of people like Brian Alvarez, and I respect this opinion, as a perennial pessimist, I completely understand his opinion, that it will not matter one iota what they do from here on out. They've got their money and they can just coast.
I
respect that opinion, but I disagree. My reasoning being, if they do not shape up, there is nothing in that contract that says that Fox has to keep them on that time slot. They could easily just force them on FS1 or one of those secondary Fox networks, just like that, if it doesn't click into overdrive and they don't get what they're looking for out of the product. So if it underperforms, they're fucking off TV, period. So they need to step up their game and keep the pedal to the metal, as they say, Kenny.
So the other thing that's interesting is with the SmackDown deal is they're going to Friday nights. Back to where they were, you know, it was 10 years ago or something, because it used to be Friday night SmackDown. I think they're going to need to do it live.
Oh, yeah, there's no way. The second I heard it... Go ahead.
So, no, I was just going to say that, you know, I know Meltzer says, you know, well, you know, it doesn't really matter about doing a tape show. And it's like, that might be the case in reality, but perception is live.
Yes.
Perception is that live is like, I mean, if a show is taped, to be honest, I'm going to have read the results for it.
Sure.
Whereas if it's live, I might tune in because I don't know what's going to happen and I can watch it live and find out.
And there's going to be some fucking shenanigans on those first few SmackDowns. Holy moly.
Good.
There's going to be title changes. There's going to be people returning. You might see Austin on there.
Like, also, they're going to have to start, like, Fox is going to become the biggest moneymaker for them, which means that, like, basically SmackDown is going to be worth more than any network pay-per-view bar the big three.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because, I mean, the way their deal works out is every episode of TV they have, they get paid $4 million for.
Yeah. And you're going to want to continue making that after this deal is up.
And the thing is, they have to make sure SmackDown does fucking great, because if it doesn't and it gets moved, USA are going to be able to offer a smaller deal next time.
Yep. It's all about looking forward to the next deal, right? Like, whenever a sports star signs a huge contract, they usually sign the huge contract and then they never live up to that contract, right? And then what happens whenever they're a free agent next time? They never get the type of money that they got with that first contract. Since this is a company and not a person, that company needs to be grinding all of the gears and making sure that they are operating on all cylinders and putting their best foot forward with every single episode. Now, this could result in a new hot-shotting period. given the fact that they don't have direct wrestling competition, I wouldn't go that far. However, everything is their competition now. The old Vince McMahon adage of everything is the competition, it actually rings true in this instance. Because if they do not maintain good ratings, that's not going to look favorable whenever it comes time to renew. It's not going to look favorable whenever the season schedule comes out for the next year. They're going to want to remain on Friday nights on Fox because everyone has access to it. And the second that they're not on Friday nights on Fox, then they've got to worry about where the hell are they going to find big money next time? Because they've proven that they failed as a commodity, if that were to happen.
Let me ask you another question. So it won't affect 2019 because the deal doesn't come into effect till October next year. Talk to me about WrestleMania weekend 2020, SmackDown Live on a Friday night. How does that change the weekend? What do you envision the new schedule being from when people come into town to when they leave? What's the WWE schedule going to be?
God, that's really tricky. That's something I haven't even really thought of, Kenny. I just thought of it in passing, like, oh boy, they're going to have to figure out like what's going to happen now. It's going to be a destination, right?
I think it improves the weekend, if I'm honest, because if you look at it right now, so if you go to like a WrestleMania weekend, as much as SmackDown after WrestleMania is fun, you don't really care about it.
Sure.
Raw the night after WrestleMania is where it's at. So the idea that you can come into town, Friday night, live SmackDown, the go home for WrestleMania, everybody's in town, WrestleMania is 2 days away. That's huge.
Sure.
The next night, TakeOver. The next night, WrestleMania, and then the last night, the fourth one, is Raw the night after.
Yeah. No, that is absolutely that's a fair justification for your opinion on that. And I mean, the SmackDown as is, you know, I mean, nothing ever really happens. That would be a way to kickstart and drive home what to look forward to for WrestleMania weekend. What happens to the Hall of Fame now, though?
I'm hoping this is where the Hall of Fame gets dropped. My fear, though, is they're going to start doing it on the Thursday night.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
But then it's one of those things, like, so for me, the Hall of Fame, and I know most people don't really care about it. I used to care about it, and I used to take it quite seriously, and I don't anymore, so maybe it's just one of those things where, like, yeah, put everybody in, who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just got that. But then, do you cancel it and try and bring back some legitimacy to it by just having one or two people go in a year and make it part of the festivities of the rest of the weekend?
If I were them, I would trim down the trim it down a lot, have it done maybe at Access or something like that, to where it's a much smaller venue and only maybe only induct 3 to 5 people instead of the, you know,
I'd say 3, just do 3.
Yeah.
2-hour show, put it in a little amphitheater like it used to be.
Yeah.
It was great when it was that.
No doubt. But put it in a some type of hall, I guess, would be the proper.
So I've got an idea for us. Let's kind of wrap things up here this week in a second. And what we'll do is we'll put a thing out on Twitter and Facebook about what questions the listeners have about the deal, and next week let's face it, next week's probably not going to be a great episode. Next week, we will dedicate half an hour to listener questions on the subject.
Sure.
Last thing I've got to ask you about, gut feeling, will SmackDown moving to Fox make the WWE product as a whole better or worse?
It will not have any impact on the quality of the product either way.
There you go.
And honestly, I think that's the most controversial opinion to take.
Yeah, no, I think it probably is.
There's a lot of people out there who think it's doom and gloom, like Brian Alvarez, and there's a lot of people out there who think it's going to usher in the second coming of the Monday Night Wars, and I don't think either one of those are accurate assessments.
Do you know what I want is, I was thinking about this the other day, WWE has this thing where sometimes they hook people like me, even you sometimes, and they hook you to being like, almost like, you know, in Polar Express, I believe, you know. But see, you know, like Survivor Series 2014 or last year's Survivor Series at the beginning of that 10-man tag where we were all excited. And then they end up just going with the kind of most pedestrian option or the most dull option. And I feel like it'd just be nice if one day they kind of go with something kind of exciting. So that's my hope. It may not happen. Probably won't. But we'll see.
David, it'd be fun. I know that much.
That's true. Well, listen, my battery's at 2%, so we're going to wrap this up. David, where can people find you on Twitter if they want to say hi?
You can go ahead and hit me up on Twitter at Zoopsoul, Zoopsoul. Ain't I great? Yeah, I know it, baby. What about you, Kenny?
Kenny MC 1985. The thing is, they got my year of birth wrong. It's 1995. That was taken. Right. I had to be 1985. You know, it is what it is.
You're rehashing your material that you use with Finn Martin. I know what you do. You cheat on me on this podcast. You go over there and You speak with Finn.
Usually you're like 3 weeks behind in the Power Slam podcast. I can do shit with this. Fucking hell. Also,
I heard that he dropped an F-bomb. So
oh my god, it's so good. And also, the idea that you're giving me into trouble for rehashing material is like the Catholic Church saying don't be a pedo. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's. Anyway, with that in mind, good wholesome fun. Also, patreon.com/insidetheropes, you can get tons of bonus content, pay-per-view reviews, retro pay-per-view reviews. Sondra and David and I have got various extra podcasts we're doing in the next couple of weeks. We'll be reviewing Money in the Bank in June. Over the Edge is up tomorrow night, which is a 3-hour live commentary of Sondra and I doing the show. YouTube.com/insidetheropes, where we have interviews going up with Daniel Bryan talking about the greatest Royal Rumble with Titus O'Neil and being cleared of Shane McMahon's return at WrestleMania. We get interviews going up soon with Chris Jericho and Carmella. Tons to come. But David, as we play out, whose music is playing us out this week? You have 10 seconds.
Oh man, let's go with the highlight of the show this week. The B Team. Take it away, B Team.
Here's their music, and if it's not theirs, it's their old one. Bye.
Oh, Gable and Ziggler.
Oh, I like the sound of this.
The B Team, as in, well, in their words, the best team. For their makeshift merch.
They spent all day training so hard they could barely complete their merch before the music started playing.
Maybe I need to take the B
this
Team under my wing.
This is a tag team match. Get the 4-1 fall.
Now, coach, we want them to succeed.
Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, the B Team.
With the Miz departing Raw for SmackDown, the Miztourage faced the crossroads. They're not discouraged, though. Bo Dallas and Axel are now the B-Team. They're in action live next,
and they're undefeated.